Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Today we are off to Asheville, North Carolina, where I got to talk with Melita Gonzalez of Little Jumbo. Little Jumbo Bar is a place that does wonderful craft cocktails, as well as hosting live jazz on certain nights, and I love me those kind of places. So you want to stay tuned because Melita's family, whole bunch of music nerds, so she couldn't help but be one as well. She had parents who were booking shows, opening dance clubs. In fact, her dad, I believe, opened the first Latin dance club in all of Nashville. And she was bartending at those places as soon as she was able. So let's talk about blending drinks in a large venue dance club with an actual blender, not having a slushy machine. Talk about volume. Oh my God. And catching the fine dining bug and moving on to craft. It's gonna be a good talk, so don't go away. I mean, you're already here.
Hello, my name is Melita Gonzalez, and right now I'm in Asheville, North Carolina, working at a little mixology neighborhood cocktail bar. We do live jazz, and we have some other fun things, events that happen throughout the year. I've been there for 3 years in April.
And this is Little Jumbo.
Little Jumbo.
Yes, I noticed it online because it said great craft cocktails and live music. And I was like, ooh, that's a place I would hang out. I want to know what they're like over there. But you're a music nerd yourself, right?
Oh, I am. Yeah.
Big time.
Huge. And yes, huge.
How did that get started for you? You just born into it?
Well, born into it, honestly. My father was huge into music. He was also a DJ when I was young.
Ooh, fun.
More like tropicales, tropical music, salsa, things like that. Mm-hmm. My mom was also into music. At a later age, became a booking agent with music, but was always following and doing like her self-promote, like promotions for like local bands and things like that. And so I think I just kind of grew up to it with like a huge array of music all around me because my mom's taste of music was really different than my father's taste in music. And, but they also shared a lot alike as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I was just born with it.
So what
Maybe
was
she's born with it?
What was, what kind of stuff was your mom booking?
Well, a lot of like local acts in the Louisiana scene. So you're thinking like Cajun music, Zydeco,
Oh,
like
wow.
singer-songwriters, things like that. Very local, small bands in like the central Louisiana community. Yeah.
And then was your dad DJing out at like bars and clubs and things like that? Or was he DJing events?
So
Because it's kind of a specific.
my father has a great background. Not only did he just like grow up just loving music and was telling me about a story, a really cute story of him that he used to like carry around this portable boombox, but it wasn't a boombox back then. It was a portable vinyl player, and it would
Oh, yeah.
actually like open up
With a
and the
speaker on the
speakers would
top.
come out and you would travel with your records, with your vinyl
Can
albums.
you
And so
imagine carrying all of that around?
I
My mom
know.
used to have one of those boxes that opened up and
Oh.
had the speakers. It was a vinyl with the speakers.
Oh, it
And
was
then
probably
she
the
had
same
records
thing.
too.
Yeah, it
That's
also
why everybody
thinks
had
like maybe,
45s, I think. They're
yeah, and
lighter.
also maybe it might have been a Latino thing and like in that background. But so then he became a he got in the service, and then after that he became like a DJ, just kind of doing experimental like at a little like club. But then he was actually the first. He was the first Puerto Rican style, like Hispanic, Latin, individual to open up the first Latin nightclub in Nashville, Tennessee in
Oh my gosh.
1996.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know he's gonna go down in history for sure. And
Yay.
so many people remember that. And it was open for like 9 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
So
amazing.
I'm
So
very
when you were
fortunate to
little,
be around a lot of
yeah, I was
music
gonna
lovers.
say, when you were little, you must have been just, I mean, not necessarily at the clubs. I don't know if they would have let you in there,
Yeah,
but you must have
no.
just been listening to this music all day long.
All day long. When I
That's so
asked my
cool.
mom, when I asked her, like, I was like, hey, what did I like when you turned on music? Did I jump up for certain things? Did I cater to more than others? Or what was it like for me? And she said that it didn't matter. Like, I was a genre lover. Like, anytime something came on and I liked it, I sung it, I danced it, I did the whole part, which I thought I was like, I still feel that now, but I didn't know if I had grew into that, being like surrounded by just musicians. I've been lucky throughout my life to be surrounded by a lot of artists throughout my life and a lot of like musicians or music lovers or some realm. Like, music has always surrounded me, and I've been very fortunate to be around like those people and really heavy hitters sometimes, where I'd still be in the room with them like wondering how I even got here. But she said that I just always liked every genre. She's like, if it was a good beat and it had a good rhythm and it said something or it made me, she said, I just jumped around. Like, I didn't have a favorite. I
I
feel
was
that
gonna
way
say,
still now at 41. I don't have a favorite.
I was gonna ask, like, what was your like, do you remember your first record? Did you have like a little 45 as your first one? Was it a big 12-inch?
Honestly, I remember having cassettes
Oh,
first. You know what I mean? I was in the era of
yeah.
cassettes first. And I mean, I grew up with my mom having a big vinyl collection. I also grew up my father having a big vinyl collection, but that was kind of like their collection. And you listen to it when you're young, but you don't always put on your mom's favorite record.
Totally,
As
because
soon
it's
as you start to
theirs.
like, exactly, it's theirs. And us and also when you're young and you're trying to come into your own, you become into your own. So like you start to listen to what you think you really like or whatever. And
Oh gosh,
sometimes
there's
it's a
so much
rebel
music.
factor and
Totally,
sometimes
there's so
it's
much
not,
music my
right?
mom exposed me to that I did not even acknowledge until I was in my 30s.
Exactly.
Like,
Exactly.
oh, that
She
is
was like
actually very cool.
Beatles, Monkey. She was mom and pops, mama and papa's. Like that was her vibe. But then I remember, when I had cassette players, I was like a straw. I was a dancer, so I loved to dance. So, Paula Abdul and like Janet Jackson, and then also like that electro house that started back in the 80s, because I'm an 80s baby, when it was like Debbie Deb and freestyle music. I
All
was
that
into all of
freestyle.
that stuff. Yeah, I was into
So much
that.
fun. So much fun.
So much fun.
That's awesome. Did you ever want to DJ yourself? You had a whole family of DJs around you.
I had like mixture of like friends that would say maybe I should give it a try. I had all kinds of things that were like, I mean, I had even friends that would give me like DJ names before I thought. And you know, there was moments that I kind of thought about doing that, but like, I don't know, I just didn't think it was all the way for me. I was
Yeah.
a dancer. Like, I didn't even know I'd be in the bartending world, to be honest, because I was a
Really?
dancer.
Oh my God. So did you start dancing when you were young?
I did. I started dancing when I was young, and
The
hold on.
music thing
Yeah.
just got you so much that you had to dance.
That I had to dance. I was a huge dancer, so anything that sorry, I have to kind of
That's
maneuver some things real quick. Anything that just was like dance appropriate, I was doing it. I mean, I remember me and girlfriends would like set up little, we would set up little, we like put on, we would do our like our own music videos at the house.
Oh, fun,
You know what I
fun.
mean? And things like that. So yeah, I was always into dance, thought I was going to be a huge dancer, thought I was going to own my own dance studio. And that kind of brings back like how I got into bartending,
Yeah,
which
I was
was
gonna say, tell me the story.
yeah, was through my father. So I moved up to Nashville, Tennessee when I was from Lafayette, Louisiana, when I was 18 going on 19. And I started working at a dance studio there, teaching dance, going to school, like a small like school for just business. And my dad, because he opened the first nightclub there, asked me if I wanted to like kind of pitch in some nights. And of course I did. I really loved it. I was starting to really get a vibe of this nightclub that I hadn't been around. And because I was too young to ever go into it, really, I could only go into it. And it had only been open a few years before I was of age anyway, but I could still only go into it like during the day when he was doing paperwork and things like that. So he asked me if I wanted to help out on the weekends, and I said yes. And I started off just like kind of working the door, and then a family figure of ours that kind of had took over like the bar world, and I'd also went to like a bartending school, asked me if I wanted to help him sometimes, and I was like, yeah, sure. And immediately when I got behind the bar, I took it on. I was a natural.
Yeah,
I
well, there's
loved
something
it.
about
I
being
loved
on
the
stage,
speed. It
you
sort of maybe it was also, I
know.
loved the speed. I loved talking to people. I loved the interaction. I loved making like good drinks, which good drinks back then in the 2000, like this is about 2000, 2001. Those good drinks were like not what you see today. They were like sex on the beaches, blue Hawaiians. And because we were a tropical club, pina coladas, margaritas, you know, that whole thing. So it was always the colorful drinks.
Yep, people love colorful. They still love colorful drinks. I mean,
They still love colorful
we just make them
drinks.
taste a little bit better.
We just make them taste a little bit better. Yes. Thank
Wow.
God we got rid of the blue carousel a long time ago.
So how long did you spend at your dad's club then?
That particular one, we were kind of phasing out because, as anyone knows, it's in the
Yeah.
industry of nightclubs or bars or restaurants. You know, they sometimes they have a time limit. They, you know, people get tired, the next thing opens down the street, things like that. So that one we were only open for almost 5 years, and I had hit like the last 2 years of it. So I was probably there for like a year and a half at that one. And then we closed that one. My father was kind of figuring out what he wanted to do. I was teaching dance still and doing that kind of element in my life, still dreaming big, thinking I was gonna still own that dance studio somewhere. But then he came to me later at another project and he was opening a new one. And when he opened the new one, he wanted to give me a job at it. And the dance studio I was working at, although I was learning things and it was nice, it wasn't where I really wanted to go with dance because I was like teaching more ballroom situations, and I always was more into like Latin vibe. I wanted to own like a Latin studio, which means I would have to move to New York or LA or Miami or maybe Chicago, somewhere where like that atmosphere was a little bigger. In that genre of dance. So I was at a crossroad and I was like, you know what? I was already thinking about not being with the studio anymore because I just wasn't advancing the way that I wanted to
Yeah.
advance. And so when he came to me with this project that seemed fun, and I was going to be the head of like kind of the drink part of it, and just also helping with whatever else he needed. And so it was really fun. And that one we had for like 9 years.
Wow. And was that also in Nashville?
Also in Nashville.
Nashville?
It was called Coco Loco back then.
Just sticking with the tropical theme.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a hit and it was amazing. I mean, we had a lot of like artists that came through there too. I remember like Wyakon Orchestra came in
Oh,
and played
wow.
there,
Oh,
and they
my
sang me
God.
Happy Birthday, which I thought at that age, like, in my middle 20s, I was like, felt like I
That's
was the
I
queen
know.
bee.
Amazing. That's so cool. That's a memory you never have to let go of, right?
I'm never gonna let go, and I'm never gonna let go of that place in general. What's sad for me is those days weren't the social media
Yeah.
days, so I can't go back and like look at those memories. They're just all up here in the brain.
Well, that's a little good too, probably. There's always those nights you don't need documented. Well,
True that, true that.
let me ask then, like from the first spot that you were at just the year or two, and then you made it to this to the new one to Coco Loco, and it was you were more in charge there, like you had a little bit of experience. So what did you learn from the first one that carried over to the second one? You were saying how it was really fast at the first one. So maybe that's
Well,
the lesson.
both were really fast. I mean, I started bartending in a very high volume
Yeah.
experience. I mean, we were serving, 400 to 600 people a night, and frozen drinks too. I mean,
Oh,
I
did you
look
guys have
back
old
now,
slushy machines back there?
we didn't have slushy machines, we had blenders.
Oh,
We had
wow.
blenders. And so when I think about it now versus then, it's kind of comical to me how I made that work and how,
Yeah.
we kept the bar flowing. Like nobody was ever on a big wait, and it was two bartenders.
Wow.
I mean, it's almost unheard of this day and age to have like two bartenders running, a nightclub that's serving 400 to 600
That
people,
is unheard of.
on a
That's
Friday on
insane.
Saturday. I know,
And
but I
frozen
was,
drinks. I mean, if you're having to
and
do
frozen
that's going to
drinks.
take a sec. Oh my God. Wow. So
It was
what, two bartenders and one bar back?
and we didn't even have a bar back.
Oh my God. Who brought you ice if you're going through all those?
That's the whole thing. We got our own ice. We did our whole all this thing. We were both very fast. I mean, I think we just loved the high energy of it, and we loved the high energy of it, and we were also having so much fun, and people were having so much fun, and I was young,
Wow.
and so I had
Yeah.
all energy in the world,
Yeah,
and also a lot of these Latino people, I mean, were drinking a lot of beer too, so a lot of it was like beer shots, a lot of I can remember like Chivas. So many people ordered Chivas. I mean, unbelievably, we sold so much Chivas. We actually had a big, huge community of Colombians.
My people. Yes, I didn't know you were
Yeah, your
out there in
people.
Nashville.
They
Huh?
are. They're out there. A lot of them are like doctors and lawyers in Nashville. And
Nice.
then we had a creative environment that supplied that and nurtured that community back then, because no one else had that back in those
Yeah.
days. Like now you go to Nashville and there are like a lot more for the Latin community, but back then
But
there
that
just
time, no.
wasn't. At
That's
that time
amazing.
there wasn't. Like we were the ones, and we had people that came from even the outskirts that would hear about what we
Yeah,
were doing.
I bet. I bet. That's amazing. So, what kind of, I mean, obviously, everyone's drinking a lot of beer, and I get it. I know when I go to Colombia, I always laugh because it's like a giant, like big gulp sized beer and then a small bottle of aguardiente. That's like all they're
Oh,
drinking. It's
I've been
gotten,
to Colombia. I do the same thing when I go.
I mean, now there's the craft cocktail scene has kind of picked up in certain parts of the country. So you can go places. The last time I was there was maybe like 9 years ago. And I remember it was there a little bit, but you had to search it out. And I remember a cousin buying me a bottle of tequila because she knew I liked tequila, but she had to like talk to various people to figure out where to buy it, you know, because everyone just has aguardiente. But
She had
yeah,
it hunted out,
I
but I
know
love
she did.
aguardiente.
Yeah. So what was your, did you design a program there? I mean, I know it was a club, so people were just there to party and everything, but you were like,
It
was
the
a tropical
biggest thing that
bar,
we
so.
designed it was the biggest thing that we designed between me and my pops was that the bar was pretty extravagant. We had a huge like glow in the dark palm tree that we built the bar like around.
Oh,
So
that's
it
so
was literally
cool.
like 8 feet up in the air, maybe even 8 to 12 feet up in the air, and had like glowing palm trees and things like that. And what we
Oh.
did was we designed like the bar around this palm tree. And then basically we kind of had we like invested in a lot of like coconut bowls and things like that. So a lot of our glassware was really fancy, but the bar program was pretty still very just tropical.
Club,
Pina coladas, margaritas, different flavored pina coladas, the beers, it was all the
yeah,
things,
'cause it's fun.
mojitos. One of my bartenders was Cuban, and he knew how to make that's where I
Got the mojito?
got the gut. Yes,
Yeah,
that's where I
got it
learned how to
right.
make like a real mojito was from him. And so that was really nice. And we also turned that club also into a restaurant. So
Oh,
about a year and a
cool.
half in, we turned it into a Puerto Rican and Cuban style restaurant. And so it was like
Yum.
a restaurant like in the afternoon to the day, and then we would turn into a
Of at
nightclub.
night. Oh, that's
Yeah.
cool. So then during the day, did you change up the drink program a little bit at all for
You
the
know,
that part, or
not
did you
really. It
stay?
was just kind of the same because I mean, you're thinking in the between 2002, 2007. I mean, those cocktails back then, like because I've been on and on bartending for 20 years, I mean, cocktails back then were way different. You know, they were easy. They were easier. They had small ingredients. You
Yeah,
know,
just a
now
couple
we're
ingredients
Oh
instead of
yeah,
like,
now we're playing with amaros and aperitifs and bitters and all those things. But you were not playing with those things, at least not in the Latin environment back in those days. Yeah.
So when did you, so this went on for a while, it sounds like. When did you
Yeah.
kind of start making that change over into the craft side of things? Because now that's what you're doing.
I know. Now that's what I'm doing. It was actually a long journey in between, to be honest. I moved out of Nashville, probably in about 2008, maybe 2009. I moved back to Louisiana. I moved like inner city, New Orleans. And then I was kind of going through a transition point where I didn't know if I wanted to stay in that industry. I kind of wanted to go and find myself a little bit. I'd been working for my father for a while, so I think it was there a little bit of a me factor that kind of needed to go and journey out and see, what I had in store and what I wanted to do with myself. So at that point, I kind of got into a few other things like selling jewelry and a few other things that were outside of the bar industry. And somehow the bar industry just got me back in again. It
It
reeled me back
always
in
does.
again. It always does. But this time it was more like fine dining. And so I got into the restaurant scene. And then I got into the fine dining, still being a bartender. And then that was more ideas of just like old fashions and martinis and things like that. I mean, one of the places I worked in New Orleans, being the head lead bartender there, was really fun because I got to concoct a lot of, I got to use the kitchen and work with the chef on daily
Oh, cool.
specials. And I would get there early every day, or at least like early on the first shift of the week, and kind of concoct an idea of like what was the special he was running this week or today or whatever, and play with those flavors. And so I think that's when I started to get back into the love of like, or that's maybe not back, but that's when I kind of started getting into the love of understanding that, it wasn't always just pina coladas and margaritas and rum and cokes and beer and shots and, the easy side of it, that I could actually be more creative. And so that's what I did.
Nessa cosa Nica so Mama ku mama sama ku makusa Mama ku mama sama ku makusa Mama ku mama sama
Then I even took a journey out of that and went into the dive bar scene, which I had
Oh.
so much fun doing. And but it was also so it was also, you know, so easy for the brain. I mean, it was mindless, you know. It took more like a Jameson and a High Life. Or I mean, every in New Orleans, everybody drinks Jameson. Like everywhere you go, it's Jameson, 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 Jameson. I feel like here where I'm at, it's always more Fernet, Fernet, Fernet.
Oh,
But
really? That's
there, it was
funny.
always like Irish whiskey. I mean, it didn't matter who you were, what you drank. If you were late night hanging at a dive bar in New Orleans, you were drinking Jameson, you know? But it was also really lots of fun. I had a lot of fun and made a lot of great people. And that industry has also a lot of greatness to it, too.
So it was over there that you started doing the craft stuff. What was the name of the place that you were at? Do you remember? Is it still there?
It is still there. It was called Annunciation.
Oh,
It, well, it
okay.
is
Cool.
called
Is
Annunciation.
yeah.
It's
That's
kind of in
really
like the
cool.
CBD area.
Okay, that's cool that you had that opportunity to get in the kitchen a little bit. So what took you to Asheville then? How'd you wind up over here at Little Jumbo's?
Well, my partner's been in Asheville for a long time, and unfortunately, the recent pandemic was kind of made a lot of a shift, you know, our lives. So I made the shift and I made it to here thinking that maybe it would be temporary. But now I've been here, you know,
A
three
few years,
years.
yeah.
Yeah, I've been here 3 years, and I was here on and off through the quarantine too. And I had visited before here as well, because me and him now have been together for 6 years. So I had visited, I had liked Asheville, and I like it now. I'm a different species here now. Goes from New Orleans to Asheville. It's a little quieter.
A
There's no
little
24
quieter.
hour bars.
I was going to say, yeah, but you are still at a place that has like regular jazz and everything. So at least you
Oh
still
yes,
have
I
live
found my
music.
home.
Yeah.
I
So
did.
tell me
I
about
found my
Little
home.
Jumbo. Yeah. Because
Little Jumbo.
have you been the lead bartender there pretty much the whole time? Or have you worked your way up to?
Yes, pretty much almost the whole time. I mean, I've been there like 3 years. I think I got in the lead bartender position maybe like maybe a little less than 2.5 years ago, I believe. I hope I got that right. But yeah, but working on drinks ever since I got there, Little Jumbo has been definitely my savior of missing New Orleans all the time. We're
Ah.
kind of a speakeasy, sort of New Orleans vibe cocktail bar. We're
It's a good
also a
happy medium for
neighborhood.
you.
It is. It's a great happy medium. We're also a neighborhood bar, so we get a lot of the locals. We have kind of like
Nice.
that Cheers vibe where a lot of people know each other. They're there like, you know, same people are there every day. Monday and Tuesdays are a jazz night, so they're there every night. Every Monday and Tuesday, kind of same characters mixed in with some new newbies that usually fall in love with us right away.
That's not a bad thing to have happen. So
No.
you're so I don't really know much about the Asheville scene. I know you're somewhat new to it, but maybe not. It kind of feels like after the world kind of opened up again, the pandemic, everybody was starting from scratch in a way. So
Yes.
in Asheville, like I've heard it's a kind of a cute little scene over there. There's like kind of artsy stuff and everything. So you make
Yes.
craft cocktails there. And how is that, are people like into it? They're in there like wanting to experiment with you and try new things.
Most people want to experience it, of course. We even get looked for through a few magazines we've been in and things like that. I mean, we get when people want to find a mixology cocktail bar, they do. They look into it, they do their research. There are a few other ones around town, and I think most people are really hip to it or want to be around it. We're also in like the brewery capital of, I don't want to say the world, but we're literally in the
A big
brewery
one.
capital
At
of
least your
I don't
area.
yeah I don't know statistically like what but we have, I mean, you can throw a rock and hit a brewery here. So we also have a lot of brewer, you know, a lot of beer drinkers.
When you started, like in the fine dining and started learning the craft stuff, what were some things that you like fell in love with that were kind of new to you? Because you sort of brought up like, oh, we're doing this and now we're working with like Amaros and bitters and things. So, you know, you got out of that whole blender world, which there's a total place for that too. I love me a good
There is.
blended daiquiri.
Totally,
So,
totally.
what were some things that you were like discovering and just getting joy from, you know, when you started mixing?
Well, I'm also a foodie, so it helps, you know, that
For
I
sure. For
love food.
sure.
I cook at home. Between me and my partner, we have almost too many cookbooks for our small space. Like, we need a kitchen just for our cookbooks. But so I think for me, it's always fun to play with those flavor profiles that also, you know, trying to be like a chef, but behind the bar is kind of the way I look at it, you know,
Yeah.
trying to play with those like flavor profiles. And I'm always trying to change it up. I want to be different. I want
Yeah.
to do something that someone else hasn't done before, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So it's always trying to be innovative. You know, looking for that next, you know, that next maybe $1 million idea. I don't know. But playing with those flavor profiles, playing with all those bitters. I love Amaros. I love sipping on Amaros. I love sipping on vermouths. You know, bringing those into play when a lot of people don't know about Amaros, a lot of people don't know about vermouths. A lot of people are kind of scared of those things. I also love playing with like agave spirit. I love playing with a lot of things that are nuances to other people. I feel like I'm a little bit of a rebel like that, where I'm like, oh, you think you don't like this? Well, let
Oh,
me show you something.
that's so great. I remember having an experience with gin kind of like that years ago, and that a friend of mine was opening a gin bar in San Francisco. And I, up to that point, had not had a great experience with gin. So I just sort of was like, meh, I don't need gin. It's okay. And I remember telling him, you know, I was talking with him, I'm like, how's it going? When's it going to be open? He's like, oh, we got a little, it's behind, but we'll get there. And I was like, I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see it. But I got to tell you, I'm not a gin person. And he just looked at me and he just looked at me and he goes, oh, you will be. And I was like, what? And so the first time I went there, he was there and he's like, I'm going to walk you through. I'm going to give you some drinks. I'm going to give you some stuff and it's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And I was totally fine. And so he kind of walked me into it and, you know, taught me just a little, just enough to kind of get me started on the right path. I'm no longer worried about gin. I love gin. I have all kinds of gins at my house. So, you know, I was very grateful for that experience.
I'm grateful you had that experience. I would have been the same person for you, because I am that person to my friends or to people that come in and they're like, I don't like Jen. I'm like, give me a second. And usually people, you know, I mean, Jen's back when, I don't know if you're like me, but you know, when I first tried a lot of liquors at a young age,
We didn't do
and we
it
didn't do it right, and we were mainly balling on a budget. So a lot of those things gave you nightmares that you still think
Totally.
of as an adult.
Yeah.
And what I try to show people is all those liquor industries have changed so much. I mean, even when people are like, I had the worst tequila night in
I
college and I'll
know.
never drink tequila again, I'm like, well, you probably had that tequila that I won't name on this podcast, but you probably
Yes.
had the one that we all know existed and the only one that existed for a
The only one
long
that was
time.
available and that
The
was
only one
cheap that you
that
could buy as an
was
18-year-old.
And it had a lot of impurities in it. So, you know, a lot of those, you know, lower
Yeah, they're just not the
well
place.
rack,
They're gonna mess with you.
they're gonna mess with you. Yes. So I think now, especially with Jen's come a long way. You know, the agave spirits have come a long way. Even vodka has come a long way. I mean, now there's like Japanese vodka, there's potato vodka. I mean, they're all over the board.
Milk
So milk
vodka?
vodka,
It's
I mean,
crazy.
it's a lot.
I think about you'd mentioned Amaros. And that's something like if I go out and just get a little shot of something, you know, just have that, people will be like, what, you know, if they don't know, what is it? And they'll smell it. Oh, it smells so bitter. It smells so herbal. I'm like, it's actually not. I think it's kind of sweet. And I'm all thing. And if you go into Italy, they serve you a little bit of this at the end of your meal, you know, to help you like it's nice, it's soothing, it's very low ABV. They're like, I don't know. So, you know, there are so many of those out there in the world. That's
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
like another category to educate people about, you know.
It is.
That's
It is.
fascinating. So I have to ask, I always do, if you have Since you grew up with so much music and you are such a lover of music, if you ever had the opportunity to, like, I don't know, maybe craft a menu that was based on music or have some cocktails that you named after songs or artists or anything like that.
I mean, like, just because now you're saying it, I need to get on this because I actually haven't really made a lot of cocktails that have to do with music, and I don't know what I'm waiting for. So you might have just inspired me
Your
to get
summer
on
menu.
this.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in New Orleans they had this one bar. I can't remember which one it was. It was a pretty long time ago, but they had a Wu-Tang secret menu.
Oh my
So
God,
if
that's
you knew
amazing.
about it, you knew about it. But it was like a it was all Wu-Tang songs, and you could ask for the secret menu. But it was only kind of within the locals, so
Yeah,
you could ask
yeah.
for the secret menu, and they would pass it to you, and it would be all these cocktails named after like Wu-Tang songs, which I remember
I
thinking, how cool is this?
can tell
But
you,
you
having
know,
done this podcast for years, bartenders love Wu-Tang. It comes
oh,
up so often.
who doesn't love
I
Wu-Tang?
know
I
who
mean,
doesn't
I'm a
love
little,
Wu-Tang, but it
I
comes up
mean, I,
so often. So, and I love that. I love
and
that.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, I love A Tribe Called Quest. I mean, I'm sure I can find some really good names. I did have one over the winter that was, I made a tea cocktail that was serving hot, and I called it Smells Like Tea Spirit.
Yeah. That's
So, you
very
know.
cute. Very cute.
So that's
So,
probably like the only one that I can really think of. I
well,
need to get on this.
I noticed too that you guys over at Little Jumbo is it in the wintertime? You do kind of a tropical theme in the
Oh
wintertime?
man, that was so fun. So this
Yeah.
was our first year doing it, and I think we're gonna do it every February. It was a hit. I think it
What
brought
was
a
it
lot
called?
of it was called we were calling it the Choppy Lacha Club.
Trapilacha. That's so cute.
Yeah, so it was kind of like tropical meets Appalachia. So we took a so basically we took a lot of cocktails and we kind of tropicalized them. You know, we had like a
That's
lychee
so cool.
martini. I made like a tamarindo drink that was really fun. We called
I
it
love
Tapas
it.
Tai Chi. It had
Oh.
like mezcal and some moly bitters and things like that. We did a riff on like the Saturn, which is like an old tiki drink. I'm not sure if you're
Gin,
within it.
right?
It's gin drink,
Yep.
but instead of passion fruit guava,
Oh,
and called
nice.
that Saturn and Jupiter.
Nice.
So it was really fun. We revamped the whole bar into like a tropical vibe. I mean, we had bird
Oh,
noises in the bathrooms. We
how
built like a tiki hut above our boots. I mean, it was
That's so
really cute.
cute.
Yeah, and it brought the heat to Asheville when I think everyone needed it. It's like right in February.
Yeah.
People are starting to kind of get over the cold, over not really being able to spend time outside, over not being able to take a vacation yet, you know, things like that. And so I think we're gonna bring it back. You know,
That
we've
was so
invested a
cute.
lot into the sign. I know, it was a
It
hit.
was a cute idea. I saw it on the Instagrams and I was just
Oh
like, oh, that
yeah.
would a perfect thing to do at, you
It was
know,
so cute.
in winter to give people a break, you know,
Oh
from it.
yeah, it was so fun. I did
That's
a
fun.
drink with a Caipirinha riff, but with kumquat and ginger, and
Oh, yum.
we called it kumquats on the yacht. I mean, it
Well,
was just really cute. Yeah.
it's kind of neat because it, to me, from what I've heard from talking with you today, it circles back to your roots, starting off
It
in these tropical dance clubs and being able to make it a little more sophisticated, but still really fun, you know, and bring it back for a minute.
Yes, it was so nostalgia for me. Like it really did bring me back to those moments because, you know, you're talking almost 20 years ago that I got
Yeah.
into that. And when I said earlier, you know, there was like no social media back in that day.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything to really look back at. Like I don't have a post to reflect on. I don't have a memory that pops up. It's just all like in my, you know,
Yeah, in
in
your
my
brain.
memory capsule. And so it really brought me back to those days and
Aww.
how fun it was.
That's awesome. That's so great. You got to share like the new version of it with everyone there. That's
And
cool.
bring some tropical, also tropicalize a little bit of Asheville, you know, because
Yeah,
it's very
totally.
mountain. It's very mountain, bluegrassy here, you know.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that very much. And so the question I always ask towards the end is when you have some downtime, you know, what are you listening to and sipping on when you're home alone? Or maybe you're at a different bar just kind of chilling out at the end of the night.
Well, depends. So if I'm like going out to another bar, I'm definitely sipping on mezcal or like drinking some kind of agave spirited situation. But when I'm at my house, I normally sip on Amaros. I like a low ABV, not too much to turn up, but just enough to like wind down, or just enough if I am gonna play a record or things like that. And I've gone through different genres like my whole life, which is why I love so many genres and I still love them all, but I do go in and out of, you know, this month or this year or these 6 months until I move on to another one. And right now, a lot of things that have me captivated is more like psychedelic rock, you know. I like ambiance. I like a lot of instrumental too, like Rodrigo y Gabriela. I love those guys so much. The Humanos, Güedra's brothers. I love those guys. I just actually went to see them on Sunday.
Nice.
So I like that ambient but instrumental vibe if I'm just at home and I have like, you know, want to put on some vinyl.
That sounds like perfect wind down stuff, you know, at the end of the night, sipping that low. And that sounds amazing. Well, awesome. Well, I think on that note, we will tell me the socials, like if people want to find you, if your social is public, the bar, all that kind of stuff. Tell me all that info so people can find you guys.
Well, on for Little Jumbo, you can find us at Little Jumbo Bar on the on our Instagram page and also on Facebook, Little Jumbo Bar.
Cool.
I'm actually taking a
Awesome.
little social hiatus, so
Totally
can't find me
good.
right now, but
That's all right. We'll
you
see
can find us on that.
the fruits of your labor on the little jumbo
Yes,
line. So
exactly.
awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you. And also, I'm just going to throw out here that you gave me a playlist that's like, I don't know how many hours. It's what, hundreds of songs or something like that. And when I
It's
was
at
scrolling
least
through it,
almost 200 songs.
yeah, and I was going through it, and I'm like, I love this song. I love this song. I love this song. And just looking at it, I'm
Good.
like, oh, I think I'm going to have to put this on shuffle so that I can dance around the house, you know, when I'm doing
No,
something.
please, if you
Because,
listen to it, please listen to it on shuffle. It's
yeah.
not meant to be let, it's not meant to go down the line. It's meant to for you to put it on shuffle and get your groove on. I mean,
Yeah.
everything from freestyle
I
music
love
back
it.
in the 80s to like Afro house to also just like world music, which
So
I'm
much
also very
fun.
much into.
So much fun. I love it. Well, thank you so much for talking to me
Thank
today.
you,
I
Mo.
don't go home.
Thank you, Melita, for providing the inspiration for so many amazing songs, because there's a 13-hour playlist over on the Music and Booze with Mo Spotify page waiting for you if you want to have all the good times. So much good times on that playlist. And that's Melita's playlist over on Spotify, Music and Booze with Mo page. And if you want to follow Little Jumbo Bar on Instagram, it's exactly that, at Little Jumbo Bar. Melita, it was so great to talk with you, and I hope that the rest of you also enjoyed our little conversation. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at themermaidla.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SHEBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.